Yep. Give me a nod when you're ready. Like Junior's ready. Stand by.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of Bullets and Bourbon. I am joined by my co-host, Matt Gunlock, and our special guest, John Bodziak. We've had John on before. He's talked about goings on with the team. But this week, we are talking about their experience going down to South Carolina and competing in the Tactical Games team event, which happened at the Sawmill, correct?
Yes.
Got it. So these guys have been training for a very long time. This is Matt's third team event, and this is John's first. Not a lot of guys on the team really compete in the tactical game so far, but it's been something that Matt and I have been preparing for a while, with myself just competing in Florence. So we'll talk preparations first. Can you guys describe your workout and diet preparations, and how far out did you start establishing these changes? Matt, we'll start with you.
Yeah, so diet, I honestly didn't really start my diet preparations until about a month out, you know, and I kept it really simple, tried keeping it as clean as possible. Like for a month, I was eating nothing but chicken and rice and broccoli, or steak, rice and broccoli. And legitimately, that's it. I was drinking 3 protein shakes a day, you know, taking multivitamins. And realistically, that was about it. Like I wanted to try and lose as much weight as I could and slim down, but still maintain that strength. So my diet was pretty rigid for all intents and purposes. Now, in terms of exercise, I really didn't start hitting exercise super hard until late December, early January. And there were times it was a bit inconsistent just due to work commitments. Whenever I, you know, as I described in my depressing life, former life with the last job I had. But once that changed, it's like all no holds bar, wheels going forward, and just hitting it as hard as I can, you know, 1, 2, 3 times a day. The way I keep myself accountable to workouts is by communicating what I do to John. I think John will vouch just about every single day I would give him the workout I did. And that's not me like telling him, hey, look at me. This is how I can convey to him, hey, I'm putting in the effort and I'm holding myself accountable.
Nice. John, workout and diet preparations, how far out did you make those changes?
So it was pretty similar to Matt on that, where, you know, it wasn't until around New Year that I started to kind of focus in a little bit more. I decided to try out a meal preparation service. So I started subscribing to the meal prep service, and that was good, where I didn't really have to think about prepping meals at all. You know, it was a good, clean, easy thing to just pop in the microwave and you know, get some good calories in me. And then I also was kind of going off and on, but started to get more consistent with using some creatine and fish oil, just to you know, kind of help out with some of the things, just, you know, kind of staying healthy, getting ahead of it. And then as far as beyond that, it really wasn't too much nutritional wise. I was just trying to get the calories I needed each day. For the workout though, Matt was a big driving force on that, because he had a good background as far as what all the tactical games actually entailed. I had an idea, but I wasn't really sure. I was just kind of, you know, doing my own thing in the gym, kind of loosely following this workout program that I already planned, you know, going if not every day, just about every other day, depending on work. But it was kind of tricky trying to balance working out with, you know, the Mick season and putting all that on, especially with I had to go down and be the match director for East, and then getting everything ready for championships, which fell in pretty close. But you know, whenever we could, Matt and I, we try to link up once or twice a week, and whether it was, you know, try to get a run in, or one of the things that really helped me, I know, was Matt was big on, all right, let's bring a sandbag out and let's get some reps and sets at dealing with the sandbag, anywhere from 100 to, at one point we even brought the 200 pounder out just to try to get some idea of how to actually handle it and use it well. And really, I think that ended up playing off pretty well for us. It definitely helped me a lot. I felt a lot more confident with the sandbags and kind of unique and or awkward lifts going into the event, where I didn't have to worry about that nearly as much. And mentally, that was big for me.
What was the heaviest sandbag that you guys dealt with in South Carolina?
150.
150. Okay. Yeah. So 200 is definitely preparing you for that. So my next question is, you guys set a plan in terms of workout and diet, but no training plan ever really goes according to how you draw it up. Were there some setbacks along the way, and how did you guys adapt?
So setbacks, what would you say about 6 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago, I pulled my calf. Yeah. I pulled my calf on a run. We were doing an easy 2 mile flak run. We were headed toward cardiac. For those who don't know what cardiac is, it is probably one of the most miserable hills on Quantico. Bod has probably all the experience in the world of bear crawling up that son of a bitch. But we didn't go all the way to that. We knew we wanted to get 2 miles out and then 2 miles back. About, I would say 3/4 of a mile in, I felt this nagging pain in the back of my calf, and in true Marine fashion, I just ignored that shit. We got up to the hill. We got up one of the hills we were running. And at the mile mark, I was like, something doesn't feel right, but I'm going to keep on going. We got about half a mile into that run, half a mile into the second mile, and we had to stop. I was like, Bod, I can't go any further. I'm done. My whole entire calf was just locked the fuck up. And like, I was hobbling. It wasn't a limp. It was a hobble a half a mile back to the building, to where teams was. And for the rest of the week, because I was on a Monday, for the rest of the week, I could not walk correctly. And the following week, I just let it rest. So that's damn near 2 weeks without any running whatsoever. And then on the third week, I went hard to the pain again, and I did 3 runs and 2 hikes. And I felt great. And so the following week I kind of ran again, and I was running down at Spotsylvania Battlefield, and I started feeling the nagging pain. So I would back off and it would go away. So I would just keep running, but at a slower pace. So I knew, okay, if I go harder, go faster, I'm going to re-injure myself. But if I just tailor that run back some, it's going to be just fine. So I would say throughout the whole match, I had a nagging pain, you know, and I may have communicated it. I may not have, just kept it to myself. I know when we were on the run going up the hill, I was feeling that nagging pain. And, you know, during the second loop, I was like, we got to walk. And that kind of goes into the teamwork aspect. You're only as fast as your slowest man. And if you don't communicate what's going on, you're just going to hurt each other. So Bod and I had a really good way of communicating. And I mean, we both have very easygoing attitudes. We work very well together, and I was very happy to have a teammate like him. You don't want to go into something where you're just frustrated with each other. Like, we communicated stuff every single day.
So the one team event I did, I saw teammates blow up at each other. Did you guys see any of that this weekend?
We didn't see it personally. We know about some, but we didn't see it personally.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was helping to judge one of the it was the three cheese combo or whatever, the last one that we did, the 27 minute
cheese blend
crusher. Yeah, three cheese blend with the little crusher that we did at the end there. And the lane next to the guys that I was helping to the grader judge, you could just see the chemistry wasn't there. They just one dude was getting flustered at the other, and like it got pretty vocal, which was kind of off-putting, and something that I really didn't expect at that, you know, at that kind of event. You know, kind of hit it running and go what you can, find a good pace that works for the both of you. But it seems like those two guys just, you know, it wasn't jiving, and that really kind of hammered home for me the how important it was to really, really have a good partner that you can communicate well with and work well with. Yeah. And like Matt said, I feel like we did a really good job of communicating with each other. You know, whether it was, you know, we're coming up with the plan for the stage or during the actual conduct of the stage, you know, changing something up, so that it ended up working out a little bit better, a little bit faster for us. We were quick, and it happened real quick and on the fly. And I think a lot of that has to do just because, you know, the two of us work well together. And, you know, we've got some familiarity in our personalities and our attitudes approaching into it, really helps to put it all together to get us where we needed to be.
Like, when we would talk about like how we would go into each of the stages, and we told each other, we're going to go at our own pace. We're not going to, like, I zoned out what anybody else was doing. I didn't care about what anybody else was doing. And we just said, we're going at our own pace. We're going to play our own game, because essentially you're competing against yourselves. If you gas out at the very beginning, and Bod even said this, he's like, we cannot go out hot. We have to go at our own pace. Let's start out moderately and see how we feel, and then gas it at the end. It's easy to gas it at the end and finish dead than gas it at the beginning and struggle the entire event. And it really worked out in our favor, to where we were pretty fresh for the entirety.
Yeah, that's really good advice that I wish I'd heard before my before the AMRAP events, Texas. That definitely would have helped. But one of my key memories, you guys are talking about teamwork. One of my key memories is from the team event in 2021. Holmeyer and I, we got into a really good rhythm on one of the events where, you know, you had to move a Husafell stone, a sled, and like a sandbag. But we basically had it to where we weren't overlapping. We were just like doing our own things on our own rhythm. Was there an event like that where you guys like kind of found a rhythm at the end of it? You're like, hey, we executed that extremely well.
So I have two events to memory that I felt we executed very well. One, it was the heavy sandbag workout. You know, you had to get the 100-pound sandbag had to go over the bar 14 times. Then the 125-pound sandbag had to go over the bar 6 times per person. Am I right? Or was it 5?
Five per person. Five. It was 14, 10, and 6.
Yeah. And then the 150 had to go over the bar 6 times, 3 times per person. And then, you know, but you started with the 100-pound, get it over the bar 14 times, then grab one person grabs 100-pound, the other one grabs those grocery bags, whatever the hell they're called, I don't remember. And then you ran down, and then you shot. While one person shot, the other person held the bags. And then whenever that person was done shooting rifle and pistol, you switched. You couldn't put the bag down. If the person put the bag down, then you would incur a penalty if they shot. Mm-hmm. And so we had to, you know, I was watching him, and if once he was changing positions, I'd put the bag down real quick. When he got back into position, I'd pick it back up, and it was vice versa. He did the same thing. And then you run back down, you do the 125-pound sandbag, same cycle. And then same thing with the 150-pound sandbag. I feel we executed that really well. We came off that stage What did we get first on that stage? I don't remember exactly.
I think that may have been the one that we actually had the stage win.
Yeah. It was well executed. The other one I think we executed really well. We had good teamwork. Was Cheese Blend. I like that one in particular just because it was a gasser. It was a 27-minute gasser. You knew it was going to suck. 27 minutes of work on the clock, you know, moving shit, climbing over ISO containers, BOD's hands on my ass, everything. And it was just like at the end, you know, a friend of mine, Phil, he posted on his Instagram the aftermath where all of us, minus BOD and Phil's partner, but everybody else was just laying on the ground, freaking keeled over, dead. And then, you know, after about a minute of catching our breath, we stood up and we hugged, we fist bumped, and then we were done. And that was it. I think BOD and I executed that well. We went at our pace and we had fun. And our shots, I mean, I was happy with our, like, I'm not bragging, but BOD and I, our shot placements and shot groups were, I would say, were exceptionally well throughout the competition. At least our yeah, I'd say both rifle and pistol.
Nice. Would you agree? Same two events, John, that you felt like really clicked?
Yeah, I felt like we really got into a good groove. And we're able to work well off each other for both of those. You know, we may not have been the fastest at Cheese Blend, but we were going at a very, very steady pace, very, very even killed. And just like Matt was saying, we were running our own game, kind of had the blinders on, and we were going at something that we established was a good pace, maintainable pace, a right pace, because we knew that was an event that was really taking some people's lunch money that. You know, they'd come out hot off the gate and they'd just be absolutely smoked by the end of it. And we want to make sure that we ended with just enough left in the tank to put out the whole way through.
And they had an EMS vehicle parked right there next to it.
Yeah. Yeah, the ambulance is right there.
Too much cheese can be bad for your cholesterol, I've heard. Terrible. Literally a cheesy joke. But teamwork's important. You know, Jared and I, we had a good thing going on. I know this time around, you guys had a good thing going around. Last time, you and Andy, Matt, really worked together. I don't think I've ever told this story, but my wife and I once did a escape room, and we got through just under the hour. And when we got out, there was a group next to us doing the other escape room that the place held, and it was five people and they hadn't escaped and they were all kind of bickering with each other. Funnily enough, that's actually, she told me later, that's the point at which she decided that she thought that we were going to work as a married couple because we got out of an escape room together. But going back to tactical games, Matt, this is your third team event. How did this event compare to West Virginia in 2021 and 22?
So it was smooth. It transitioned very smooth. Everything was on time. You know, we did four events on Saturday. Realistically, five because they kind of broke up the long-range shooting portion. They had the long-range shooting as one stage and then the long run as another stage. Mm-hmm. So I guess you can say five events on Saturday and then three events on Sunday, which gave you a lot of time to kind of really just sit around, socialize, have a good time on that Sunday and just get to talk to people and you know, communicate with friends. You know, I know I put this on my Instagram and it's the God's honest truth. In 2019 at Marine Corps Marksmanship Competition Far East, that was whenever I earned my first marksmanship medal, you know, came in 10th out of, I think, 167 competitors. And every stage I was nervous. Every stage, something was on the line. And this was exactly the same. It's the same feeling that I felt going into it. BOD will tell you, like, I had cotton mouth. I was drinking a ton. I was peeing every like 5-10 minutes. like I was like deeply focused, because everything was on the line. I didn't want to fail BOD. I didn't want to be that weakness, and I wasn't going to be that weakness. And so I think that's one aspect that the team events really bring out. Like, you, it's either going to force you to work harder, or like you said, force you to break down. And I think with us, we just really meshed well, came together, and it's the most fun at a competition I've had in a long time. And it really has reinvigorated me and made me have a newfound passion for shooting again. You know, I've shot a lot of competitions in 9 years, and this is the first time in years I've had this much fun. And I think a lot of it had to do with who my partner was too.
Yeah, that's great. Would you say the way you felt, the nervousness, had something to do with the fact that not only had you guys put in a lot of time and energy in preparing for this, but you also knew that you guys were contenders to podium? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
That changes the way fundamentally that you look at a competition.
It absolutely does. That's like, I knew everything was on the line, and I just wanted to, you know, there was this different focus I haven't felt in a while.
Yeah. So I want to make a quick segue. Matt, I think I texted you at the end of day one, and you said specifically that you weren't looking at the results because you want to stay focused.
Yep.
John, did you look at the results after day one?
I did not after day. Well, I didn't that night, but I did in the morning, just because I was like, all right, well, like, we're going to do what we're going to do anyway. So let's
see. It was actually me who went inside, because like they were looking at it. I was like, you know what? Fuck it. Just show me the score, because everybody was looking at it. And I was just like, okay, if you're looking at it, just fucking tell me, where are we sitting? And so I just walked in and I was like, hey, this is where we're sitting right now. It was just like, all right. But yeah. Honestly, I didn't want to know. The only reason why I told them is because they were stood right there. I wanted to maintain that focus. Not that it really affected anything.
Yeah, because on one hand, it's like you're still going to approach all the stages the same way. You're still going to give it your best. But on the other hand, you like kind of want to know, right? It's just innate nature. So it's just interesting. People take very different approaches to it. I tried, like, one of the events that we did last summer, BOD, we had like live scoring. I think it was area 8, and just following that fucked with my head so hard. It was not good. So
yeah, I've always tried to, like, I see some folks that really, really get into score hawking, and like really get down to the nitty gritty of the points, and, you know, trying to do the math and the what if game. And that's kind of something that I never really got into, and I think that's just kind of part of my mental game. I'm just like, listen, I'm a run my match. I'm a shoot my thing. Whatever I mess up on, that's gonna be on me, and I'm not gonna try to game it against someone else, just because the more complicated I make it in my head, the more I'm gonna get in my own head, and it's just gonna compound it. It never really worked for me for that. So I just, you know, it's easier if going into it with a plan and an idea about how I want to do it, just kind of sticking to that and giving her the best go and going from there.
To summarize what John just said, quote, stop being a statistics nerd and just bring the chat energy. It's basically what I just heard. But John, this is your first Tactile Games event, and your background competitively has primarily been the MCMX, USPSA, and 3-Gun. What are some aspects of shooting that you saw presented in the Tactile Games that aren't available in any other sport?
So the biggest part of it is something that I really enjoyed. It is really that deep mix of physicality, along with having to actually have a good level of marksmanship. Like, there needs to be a healthy balance there in order to be successful for this. You can't rely just on being a good shooter, or, you know, being an absolute beast in the gym. Like, you have to be able to do both, otherwise you're not going to succeed. And I really, really liked that, you know, running around with a plate carrier on, and all of what you need on you, be it, you know, going for a long run or actually like moving weight, moving over obstacles like an ISO container with all of your stuff and keeping accountable for it. While still on the clock, it added another level that you don't really get in USPSA or three gun by itself, where it's so much heavier on how well can you move quickly from position to position or how you're transitioned. It's much more of a pure form of action marksmanship, whereas this is kind of a different level of duress. It's not just, you know, how fast and accurate can you be? It's how fast and accurate can you be while you're also in the process of smoking yourself. And I really liked that. It was a different approach. It's definitely not going to sway me away from keeping up in USPSA and the other action disciplines. Cause I mean, I still love those and it's a great time. And it really helps to reinforce the shooting aspect of it and the proficiency with weapons manipulations. But just kind of the mix of it, how it was here was really cool. And something that was definitely unique. One of the things that I wasn't necessarily expecting coming into it, you don't get it as much in USPSA from what I've found so far, but it's definitely the atmosphere around it. I'd say it's a little bit more similar to what I've experienced in three gun a bit, where, you know, people are there and there, you know, you can have a go up and have a conversation with just about anybody. You know, when you're in the stage, when you're going at it, people are there supporting you, cheering you on. And they don't even know who the hell you are. And so that was really cool. The community aspect of it, was something that, you know, at local USPSA matches, you'll get a lot more, but it seems like at the larger ones, everyone's really kind of focused on doing their own thing, unless you're part of a dedicated team. So that was another thing that I really, really enjoyed about that.
Real quick, something Matt and I say about the tactical games all the time, but it's really refreshing to hear someone else who's, you know, experiencing it for the first time basically agree with what we've experienced. And part of it has to do with everyone's doing the same stuff, right? You are all going through the same course of fire. You're not shooting on different days. You're all basically in the same spot. But yeah, some of the people that I've talked to just off the cuff, like three of them showed up to Shadowhawk this last weekend and shot the RPGI match with me. We're still friends. Like, we still hang out. And they came all the way from North Carolina. But was there anything else that stood out to you?
Those were definitely the biggest things by far. Like, you could kind of tell just by watching who was, you know, big time into CrossFit or lifting in the gym, but, you know, didn't shoot too much, or who focused a lot on shooting and didn't lift too much or something like that. And it was just really cool trying to see everyone negotiate their own challenges.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the things that I did find interesting was kind of how much it kept you on your toes, because the stages kind of changed each day while we were there, and you didn't really know for sure until you arrived exactly what it was. And that was kind of cool, because like, you knew what you didn't know. But at the same time, it was also like kind of frustrating because you knew, but you didn't know. So it was kind of a double edge to that one. So that was just kind of just the only other thing that I can think of.
Okay, very cool. One last question for you. Coming from an action shooting background, did you find, like, would you say that the shooting is easy?
I wouldn't say it's the hardest shooting I've done, but I also wouldn't say it's like super easy off the cuff. Like, I definitely think that there is its own challenge to it, especially, you know, with the physicality portion of it as well. You know, it's not like you're shooting at these massive targets. Like, some of them are you know, you have a reasonably sized area that you have to hit, but I definitely think it's not the easiest challenge out there, especially when you add the physical portion on top of it, and your heart rate's elevated. You know, your muscles are already activated and sore, and you know, you're getting in your own groove, and also you have to get into a position, build a good position, and then settle it down, or you know, shoot off of a weird angle. Like, they were having a shoot off of the small 90 degree offsets in the VTAC, which, you know, if you're already carrying heavy stuff and going around and you have a small confined space to do that in, doing that on top of and trying to make all of your shots good shots while you're in a weird cramped position, it is not the easiest thing to do, especially once you're already like three quarters of the way through a workout. So in that sense, it really did institute its own challenge on the marksmanship side, that I found unique, but also just really cool.
Yeah, and I'd agree. Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, you really have to know. One thing I'll say is you really have to know how to shoot pistol. Like, they have small targets out there at 12 yards away, and you have to have those fundamentals down. Is it the hardest shooting? Probably not, but some people are only getting 50% of the hits, and you have to know how to breathe. You have to know how to reset that trigger and just press that trigger back, or you're going to miss. And I mean, I'll give John props on Cheese Blend. Like, I looked up at his pistol target, and like, there was a part of that target that was just absolutely missing. It's like, how are they going to count those shots? Because like, there's a giant fucking hole in that paper right there. And I was just like, hell yeah, dude, get it.
Very cool. So a lot of stages went your guys' way, but there was one stage that didn't really go according to plan. You may have encountered a couple 1x2s that might or may not have passed the drug test prior to the games. But how did you guys handle that obstacle, and how did you convey your criticisms to the match staff? Matt, we'll start with you.
Obviously, there was a lot of deep frustrations in the moment. Like, we walked off, we were pissed, but we kept our composure. I think one thing that we learn really well on teams, and we express to all the individuals that are on the team, is to maintain that level of professionalism, to never really let people see what your emotions are. And that's kind of how we handled it. I made a comment to Jake, and I was like, hey, I'd like to talk to you offline sometime, but I wasn't going to be that guy that just was like, this is bullshit, you know, what the fuck. I'm not going to do that. That would just be unprofessional, and potentially I would lose respect from other people by doing that, is kind of how I view it. So, you know, honestly, you know, Jake and I probably talked for an hour and a half last night, and you know, it was a really good conversation, and you know, he was very insightful with what I had to say, and you know, just kind of took everything in, and you know, it was a good way of moving forward. It sucks. Shit happens. It didn't go according to plan. You know what you do? You pull your pants up, you fucking move on, and you keep performing. Could we have just kind of said, fuck it, we're just going to finish and not put out? Absolutely. But that's not who we are. We wanted to go out there. We wanted to have a good time. We wanted to put ourselves through a challenge, and we wanted to gas ourselves out as much as we could. And that's ultimately what we did. Win or lose, who cares? Let's go out there and fuck shit up.
Yeah, it's a good mentality to have. Anything to add, John?
Yeah, no, it was one of those things. We went into it with a plan. We're like, this is our stage. We're going to own this. Like, this is right up our alley. This is our money stage.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we just got thrown the curveball. Murphy's a bastard, and he gave us some wood that's been, you know, thought it was some soft pine, and I guess it was made out of redwood, and it was quite its thing. And so we were just like, all right, well, you know, when we get through it, we're going to attack it. Got in there, got the shots off that I could, and then as soon as we got told, hey, you know, swap and go at it, I was like, all right, I just need to get Matt in there as quick as I can. Did what I could, and then at the end of it, like, I remember Matt coming up to me. He's like, hey man, I'm sorry. I'm like, dude, shit happens, it's all good, let's just get the next one. You know, it was done, it was behind us. And the only thing you can really do at that point is just be like, yep, you know, Murphy had a vote, it didn't go our way, nothing we can do about it now. just bounce back and keep attacking it. And you know, there's no reason that something like that would have to poop in our cereal and rain on our parade. And it was regardless of what it was a really good time. And honestly, it looked like a fun stage, and it ended up being a pretty fun stage at the end of it. When we were waiting to go for our last stage, I went up to
Jake.
Jake. And I was like, hey man, about the stage. He's like, I already know what you're gonna say. I'm like, I don't think you do. I just wanna know if I can run it again with Matt, not for score. We want another go at it because it seemed like it'd be fun. He was like, dude, absolutely. Heck, do you want me to breach for you? I was like, no, we got it this time.
I got it in four hits that time.
Yeah, you had a personal vendetta against the door at that point.
Fuck yeah, I did. I wore my penguin shorts.
And you wore the penguin shorts. So at that point, you were just straight stunting on it. But we went at it, and it was a lot of fun. It was a really good time. You know, it's a bummer that we didn't do that the first go, but it is what it is. I'm really happy with us that we didn't let it get to us. And the next two stages that we had after that, we gave it our best go and did pretty decent.
Yeah, that's good that you guys stayed focused, because I've definitely seen some competitors that if as soon as one thing goes wrong, they just take it as opportunity to not take the competition seriously or start clowning around. So it's good. It's good that you all reacted that way. I'm sorry that you ran into the world's strongest breaching door. If you hadn't broken those 1x2s, I probably would have used them to reinforce my house, Matt. So
no, and honestly, and this will lead into the last question, but it kind of goes with the last question, but I want to kind of get it out now. It's like, Carla, a friend of mine, Carla, obviously saw the frustration I was going through, and I was very frustrated, and I tried not dwelling on it. And I wasn't emotionally like outwardly saying anything, but she's like, Matt, shit happens. Well, stuff happens. She's like, you're not out of the game yet. And I was like, you're right. And she's like, you still got two stages. Go out there, put out. And I mean, that's the attitude I had anyway, but it was nice to hear it from somebody else.
Yeah. So speaking of that, I mean, it's not just the match. You guys had a wonderful road trip on the way down and back, and you spent the entire weekend with the Penguin Pack, who, Matt, you've been training with them for the last couple of months. So how important was it? And it's a community-based event, but actually having your own community and your own tribe, your own family to be around you and help you out and cheer you on. How important was that, this match, Matt?
To kind of get into, personal life, all that kind of stuff. Obviously, I was on the Marine Corps shooting team. I'm still very connected with the Marine Corps shooting team. Fuck, I mean, me and Bod, went out there together over the past couple of weeks. I've been going and seeing the team because I work 10 minutes away from them. So I'm still very much part of that family. But at the same time, it's not my team anymore. I'm not out there really competing with them as much anymore. And it's time for me to go off and do my own thing. And family's extremely important. And, I wanted to pick out two very important quotes to me. And it's from the book Try by Sebastian Younger. And, and it's kind of what I've been going through, like, this whole transition process and, retiring from the military, as tired as I'm saying that, finding out who I am, what I want to do, where I want to be in life, all that kind of stuff. There's a level of adversity and that goes into that. And so this is kind of how I look at things. Adversity often leads people to depend more on one another, and that closeness can produce a kind of nostalgia for the hard times that even civilians are susceptible to. And then what people miss presumably isn't danger or loss, but the unity that that these things often engender. There are obvious stresses on a person in a group, but there may be even greater stresses on a person in isolation. So during disasters, there's a net gain in well-being. So I kind of look at that as is, I'm building, I'm part of another family. I'm part of a group of people where we want to do nothing but help each other and help others. We want to, you know, run community-based events where we can make people better than what they are. We just want to go out, have fun, and encourage each other. And to have everybody in that house together before the event, after each day, and then before we left, it was kind of a cathartic event where we can all just sit there and be like, this was shitty, but this was fun. And we can relish in the pain that we were going through, and we could all relate to it, and mm-hmm. we could all get each other through it, and we can just enjoy the times that we're there together. It's a family, and we take care of each other, and we watch after each other. And, you know, when somebody's down and out, you pick them up, and that's what we do. And it's nice to see that type of community and closeness outside of something, outside of the norm.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Some very strong penguins on a very, very stacked iceberg, I might say.
And, you know, I got to give out a shout out to, you know, the other six. You know, Carla and Katie, they crushed it. Robert and Joe, they were competing right next to us, and it was really awesome to do that. You know, two people, like, we coordinated beforehand, hey, we're going to be competing next to each other this whole time. And like, Joe and Robert came up to us after day one, and Robert was like, dude, you guys are pushing us. Like, we weren't going to go out as hot as you guys are. Like, we're not, you know, we're just running our own game, man. He's like, you guys are pushing us. Like, you guys are focusing us to work harder than what we were planning. I was like, that's awesome. Like, there's something in that. And then, you know, having Lorelai and Adriana there, like, you know, they've been best friends since high school. And it's, you know, awesome to see people that have been friends for over 20 years getting out there and competing together. And just, you know, they're all just really fun people to be around. And I love every single one of them for it.
Yeah, great to hear. Next question's more for you, John. What's the plan going forward? So I know Matt is going to compete as an individual in South Carolina again in September. Also plans on doing the team event in West Virginia in August. I know, John, that you're planning on taking someone from the shooting team and doing that team event as well. But how does the tactical games, in your eyes, fit into the matches that the Marine Corps shooting team will be attending in the future? Is this something that you see yourself integrating?
So I definitely, as I mentioned previously when I was on the podcast, I really like, you know, the kind of the more physical based competitions. When you think of a Marine and what we represent, a lot of it has to do with some level of physicality. And so integrating that into what we do, especially when we do it in competitions, is something that I think is really worthwhile and worth integrating. So besides trying to integrate that a little bit more into potentially the mix, you know, kind of like we did at championships where we introduced a team stage that was a lot heavier on the physical side. And, you know, even things like at the RPGI match where, you know, it wasn't super heavy physical, but there were physical portions of it that counted to it. You know, things like that, I think are definitely worthwhile and well in our lane for us to go at. And so, yeah, I'm definitely trying to get a couple of the guys out to put a team or two together to go to this next one in West Virginia, as long as it lines up with their schedule. And really just kind of get the guys, a couple of the guys going on that. So, that, you know, for these more physical competitions, be it, you know, the ones that tactical games run or even other ones, like I know there's some three-game competitions like Cardis Hell and Duskin that are very physically oriented, a lot more than the other ones. So, you know, being able to represent well at those and doing those well, and even possibly some of the more internationally reaching ones like AFSAM that we're sending some guys to, or our mosque over with the Brits on the second side of when they came over here. A lot of that is a little bit more physically weighted. And so, you know, getting guys into that and getting a good basis for that and continuing that on top of what we're doing, I think is something that's worthwhile and something that I'm going to continue to push and be an advocate for on the team. Because ultimately I think it comes back around to the Marine Corps and what we do on the team and give back. And there's way more positive sides to it than there could be negative ones.
Completely agree. And we talked briefly as you guys were driving back. If you want to put together a PT session involving like a little tactical games event, maybe a couple, then I am all for it. But as we're wrapping up, I have one last question. So this is for John. Tempur-Pedic Mattresses uses a scale of 1 to 10 to rate the firmness of its mattresses, with 1 being extra soft and 10 being extra hard. Based on your experience as a subject matter expert in both mattresses and behinds, how do you rate the density of Matt's butt?
So I have to say, I've been pondering this quite a bit ever since the stage, and it's been well documented in photography as Matt's newest profile picture attests to. I was able to get a very firm and consistent understanding of
my ass, how
Matt's ass is. Mm-hmm. And I'd have to say at the moment, it is continuing the upward trend, but it's a solid 8.5 going towards a 9. Like we're getting close to quarter bouncing levels here for sure.
Hell so yeah. you're saying it's not at your level, but he's working the donk. It's getting there.
I will not toot my own caboose.
It's fine because the rest of the shooting team will do it for you.
I already did it. Like we got back to the house that night, and like Bod was in his like short silkies and everything, and we were laying on the dock and everything, and I just walked right up, slapped him on the ass, and just went laid down right next to him on the dock.
Oh man!
Good game, Matt. Good game.
Hey, I didn't say good game.
I know. I still have to like come up with some more captions, but one of them is definitely, sir, I think you're taking rear security a little too seriously.
Well, I have to support my Marines from the rear, both current and former.
There you go. But hey, this was a fun conversation, guys. Any other reflections on the event, just the whole thing, right? You guys, you're training towards it, what you guys went through together, what you're going to continue to, you know, I imagine you guys are going to continue to train together.
Yeah. One, I'd like to say, I'd like to thank Nick and Jake, specifically. They put on an amazing event. I had a lot of fun out there. Based on what happened, like I was going to take a few days off before I started pick back up training, shoot about an hour before we came on here. I was already back out in the gym. I was lifting sandbags. I kind of replicated the event we did, the sandbag event, except with 100, 150, and 200 pound sandbags. And then I had the, getting those over the bar. And then I grabbed my 250 pound bags and I ran them down my drive and all the way back to the truck. And, you know, I'm already hungry. I'm ready for more.
Nice. Any last thoughts, John?
I'd have to agree. I think they ran a really good match. I'm really happy that this was the first one that I go to. I plan on going to more. You know, I really like these kind of events. And you know, it's kind of a mix of two favorite pastimes for me. I grew up going to like the Monster Mud Runs and the Savage Races, and you know, I always really like shooting. So it's the best of both worlds. And really putting that together. So I'm really excited to continue to do this, possibly glean whatever I can from it, and implement it, at work as best I can. And, really for those that know, ultimately, I think the major morale booster was the fried chicken, along the way. For those that know, they'll know. For those that don't know, go ahead and ask Matter myself about it for the future.
The fried chicken.
The chicken parm kept us fed, but the fried chicken kept us
entertained.
Spirited. Yes. But no, it was a great time. I had an awesome time. Matt was a fantastic partner. And really it was nothing but a wonderfully positive experience.
Oh, yeah. one of the coolest things that happened out there is me and Bod at the end of day one, we were finishing our last event up for the day. And, you know, one guy came up to Bod and he's like, are you an active duty Marine? Yeah. Who are you with? Marine Corps shooting team. Oh, no shit. Can I get a picture with you? He's like, yeah, sure. And so we get through the event and everything. He's like, were you a Marine? Yeah, I'm retired. He's like, who are you with? Listed everybody. He's like, and was like, yeah, I was in charge of the Marine Corps shooting team as staff in TIC. Can I get a picture with both of you? I was like, absolutely.
That's pretty cool.
That was cool.
Yeah, that
was a little bit of a surreal experience.
It's always weird when you get fanboyed over.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was odd.
It's cool. Not, you know, when it happens, you're like, I'm not anybody. So I don't know why you're fanboying, but
he's yeah. Listening. Hey man, I appreciate you. That made my day.
Yeah, hey, same. And I'm glad nobody called me Gunny. Not one person called me Gunny. And I say that because just about every three gun match I go to, everybody's like, hey Gunny. It's just like, God damn it. My name's Matt. I'm retired. Call me Matt. Yeah. I have a personality outside the Marine Corps. I'm retired. So yeah, it was nice.
I get it, man. But yeah, I gotta say, John, I'm excited that you went, because when I first got introduced to the team in 21, I think Matt, you were already signed up to go do that team events, that team match in West Virginia, but the rest of the team was kind of, they were like, eh, you know, we're not really into this whole tactical games thing. And I'm excited that the team is moving towards embracing it. I think it has a lot of great qualities and a lot of good things to offer, both the Marine Corps, the shooting team, and also the CF. So for all those listening, we hope you enjoyed this episode. If you have any questions about how to get into the tactical games or preparations, you can reach out to John, Matt, or myself. But thanks for listening.
Bye.